Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Stonick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
I'm always reminded in Corinthians, God takes the foolish things of this world for His purposes. So, if ever that was true, it is with us. Okay, let's get right back to where we were. And 1 John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 23 again. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name. Now, underline that word name. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. All right, now let's go back and see what I'm trying to show everybody as we go through these little Jewish epistles, how that they ring true with so much of the Jewish Scriptures. Now come back with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and Peter has just healed, or Peter and John have just healed the lame man. And the Jews, of course, are wondering, how'd they do this? Now, like I've always said, isn't it amazing? This is only a matter of 8 or 9 weeks after Christ was performing miracles Himself. But yet when the disciples raise the lame man, they are just aghast. All right, but now after Peter recognizes that they're all wondering up there in verse 11 and they're amazed. Now verse 12, so that you see the Jewishness of all this. Now this is shortly after the day of Pentecost in chapter 2. And when Peter saw it, that is the amazement of the Jewish people, he answered to the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel at this, or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers." See how Jewish this is? "The God of our fathers hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied Him in the presence of Pilate, when Pilate was determined to let Him go. You denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." But see, now Peter doesn't come on and claim death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. But the next verse, what was the core of this man's faith that brought about the healing? Verse 16, "And His name," through faith in His name, "hath made this man strong." Now, flip back again, if you're still there, flip back to 1 John so that you can compare Scripture with Scripture. Now, instead of Peter saying it, it's John, but nevertheless, it's still in that Jewish economy. And here we have it in verse 23. "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another." What were they to believe? Who Jesus of Nazareth was. That was the whole core of their faith system. Now, they're still under the law, remember. The temple is still operating. Nobody has told these Jews to stop temple worship. In fact, in chapter 3, in the first verse, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray because it was the prescribed hour of prayer. They're still under the law. But their faith is not in the finished work of the cross. Their faith is in who Jesus was. All right, now let's back up a little bit. We got a half hour because I'm not going to finish 1 John anyway, so I might as well forget about it. Now let's come back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. All got it? And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. Now see how plain that is? He is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And along with it, the miraculous healing of every sickness and every disease. All right, now then, this gospel of the kingdom then is not for anybody but Israel. Next chapter, chapter 10. He chooses the 12. Now verse 5. My goodness, this is plain language. And either people refuse to believe it, or they get mad. Or they get mad. That isn't what it means. Yes, it is what it means. It's as simple, it can't mean anything else. So these 12, verse 5, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and any city of the Samaritan, enter you not. Why not? This is a Jewish message. This is following in the path of the prophets and the covenants made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that had nothing to do with the Gentiles. And so Jesus is particular in keeping everything in line with the Old Testament promises. All right, go not into the way of the Gentiles, any city of the Samaritans, enter you not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, that's as plain as language can make it, see? That was the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I said earlier today that when the tribulation begins, the church is gone, the gospel of grace has come to an end, and so what gospel has to pick up again? Well, the gospel of the kingdom. And here you have it in Matthew 24, from the lips of the Lord Himself. Matthew 24, verse 14. And all this verse has been twisted all out of shape for whatever purpose they want to use it, but the right one. Verse 14 of Matthew 24. All got it? And better wait. Matthew 24, verse 14. And the key word in this verse is this. And this gospel of the kingdom. Why the word this? Because that's what they've been preaching for 3 years. They've been preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the nation of Israel. And this gospel of the kingdom then shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now that's not the gospel of grace going into the whole world, the gospel of the kingdom. So, you got to put everything together. When will they start preaching the gospel of the kingdom again? At the beginning of the tribulation. And those 144,000 commissioned Jews are going to take that gospel of the kingdom around the world, supernaturally. And they are going to reach every tongue and tribe and nation because Revelation says they will. And when John sees those martyred people out of that preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, he says, who are these? And John, in so many words, says, well, tell me. And what the angel said, these are they that came out of the great tribulation. They had become believers of the gospel of the kingdom and were martyred because of it, and they're already there in the throne room in heaven. But it was that gospel of the kingdom that was interrupted by the gospel of grace that will be picked up again when the church is gone and Israel is once again in the forefront of God's dealing with the human race. Well, let's see. Should I show you anything else yet? Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. the death of Lazarus. Y'all got it? John's Gospel, chapter 11. And of course, you know the account. Lazarus has died, and Martha and Mary are bereft, and Martha's almost upset with him that he didn't come and heal him. But in verse 23, Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Verse 24, Martha said unto him, "Oh, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." See, there's your salvation right there for those Jews. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." They'll have eternal life. Believest thou this? Now look at Martha's answer. Just exactly, word for word, what Peter, in one of our previous programs, I used Matthew 16. Now Martha says, "Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God." See how plain that is? "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, that should come into the world." And that's all she needed. Jesus didn't ask for anything more. And so it was all based on believing who he was. All right, now then, let's go and, for comparison's sake, use the next few moments that are left to see the difference in the language coming from the Apostle Paul. Let's go first back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We won't take time to look at his conversion experience. I trust most of you know that, forwards and backwards. But what a lot of people miss is what God is doing behind the scenes. He's dealing with old Saul out there on the highway. But somewhere in the city, God is now dealing with one of the Jewish believers in Damascus, a man named Ananias, whom the Scripture calls a devout man according to the law. He was a Jewish kingdom believer. All right, now to this Ananias, verse 11, the Lord, Acts 9, verse 11, "The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And this Saul of Tarsus hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem by his persecution." Verse 14, and Ananias goes on, "And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." Lord, this guy is here to raise havoc, even like he did in Jerusalem. But the Lord said, see, the Lord said, "Go thy way. For he, this Saul of Tarsus, is a chosen vessel unto me. And his commission is to bear my name before the," what people? Gentiles. What a difference. What did Jesus say? Go not into the way of a Gentile, but go only to the lost sheep of Israel. But now this apostle is going to be sent just the opposite direction, to the Gentile world. Now see, what most of Christendom does not understand is that from the Genesis chapter 12 and the giving of that Abrahamic covenant, there was no overture to the Gentiles except Nineveh. None. The Jews were never instructed to go and evangelize the Gentiles. In fact, they took it off to the extreme and they hated them. They wouldn't have anything to do with a Gentile if they could possibly help it. And so I suppose the best way I can explain that is while you're in Acts, turn on over to chapter 22. And I use this just to show you the mentality of Jews like Saul of Tarsus concerning Gentiles. My, how that man's heart must have sunk when God told him, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. That must have been almost the worst thing he could think of. All right, Acts 22, verse 17. Now here Paul has already been out amongst the Gentile world for almost 20 years. But he's always had a heart for his kinsman according to the flesh, the Jew. And so he comes back to Jerusalem. And he still thinks that he can win the Jewish people to a faith in their Messiah. And so here he comes. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem. Now remember, this is Luke quoting Paul. Paul is speaking to a great crowd in Jerusalem, even though we know Luke wrote the book of Acts. Nevertheless, it's Paul that is speaking to a large Jewish audience. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Now, that raises a question. Why did Paul have so many dealings with Judaism and the temple when he himself had been removed from it? Well, I think this is the whole reason. He had such a love for the nation of Israel that he was almost ready to do anything to, as he says in Romans, I think, win some. So some of the things that Paul does here in the book of Acts are hard to reconcile, but like I just told somebody at break time, don't ever build doctrine in Acts. You'll get in trouble every time. For your doctrine, you wait till you get to Romans through Philemon, Paul's epistles. That's where we build our doctrine. But this is all, again, just background, showing us how everything moved out of the Jewish economy of law and the kingdom gospel and moving into Gentiledom and grace and Paul's apostleship. All right? Verse 18. So he tells this Jewish audience that I saw him, that is the Lord, in verse 16. And I saw the Lord saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they, the Jewish, will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also standing by, consenting unto his death, and held the raiment of the clothes of them that slew him. But the Lord said unto me, depart, for I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. Now look at the next verse. And they, this Jewish audience, they gave him audience, or they listened to him, until this word, one word. And what did he have? A riot. A literal riot. When he dropped the word Gentile from his lips. And they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live. And they cried out, cast off their clothes, threw dust in the air. And the Romans had to actually come in and make a protective arrest of the apostle. Well, now, this isn't to downplay the Jewish people. This is only to show you how separated they had become from the Gentile world to a point taken to an extreme, as people are prone to do, not because they're Jews, but only because they're humans. They took it to such an extreme that they hated the Gentile. They hated everything about them. And, of course, you can see why. The Jews were meticulous in their eating habits, in their hygiene, and in their worship of the one true God. And the Romans were just the opposite. The Roman pagans were gross in their immorality. They were, in the eyes of a Jew, ate like pigs, because that's what they ate, was pork. And all that just flew in the face of the Jewish people. And so they detested the Gentiles, see? And so now, here is the beginning of it. That to this Gentile world, the Apostle Paul is going to be sent by a direct command from the Creator Himself. All right, now then, real quickly, let's just go and see the difference between some of these things that Paul proclaims compared to John. Whether it's in his gospel or whether it's in the little epistle, makes no difference. All right, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Now, the reason I'm doing this, just in the last few days, I've had several letters wanting me to qualify and explain more fully what did Paul mean when he said, my gospel. Well, that's exactly what he calls it, my gospel. What is it? All right, let's look quickly. Verse 16. In the day, judgment day, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, who will be the judge at the great white throne. When God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to what? My gospel. That's what men are going to be judged by. What have you done with Paul's gospel? Like someone told me just the other day, they've heard it several times in the last weeks, where people say, I hate Paul. Well, then they're going to be before that great white throne, having to admit that they did nothing with Paul's gospel. All right, the next one, Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. All got it? Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to what? My gospel. That's who he's writing to. He's writing to those of us who have placed our faith in Paul's gospel. Not Paul. Paul's gospel. And what is Paul's gospel? The preaching of Jesus Christ. Not according to his earthly ministry. Not according to the promises made to the prophets. But the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation or a revealing, an unveiling of the mystery. The secret, which was kept secret since the ages began. And what's the secret? Paul's gospel. Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 14 years after his conversion on the road to Damascus, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation. In other words, the Lord had instructed him to go up and meet with the 12. But now look what I want you to see is right here. I went up by revelation and communicated, in other words, without any gobbledygook, without anything that couldn't be clearly understood, I communicated unto them, that is, the Jerusalem church, Peter, James, John, and the rest of the leadership, and I communicated unto them that gospel. Now the word in this verse is that. Matthew 24:14, I wanted you to underline this. But now Paul makes a distinction that he clarified to the Jerusalem church, that gospel which I preach among what people? The Gentile. Now what's that doing? He is qualifying the my gospel. And that it was totally different from the kingdom gospel. All right, now let's go quickly. Only got a minute and a half left. Come back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. And this is Paul's gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He could have just well said, my gospel. Which I preached unto you, and which also you have received. They're believers now, remember, brought out of paganism and idolatry and immorality. And that which you have received, wherein you stand, by which you are saved. How are we saved? By this gospel. And what's the gospel? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Now, it's a given, of course, that Christ is the Son of God. We don't take that away from it.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.